2 Corinthians 1 to 11. Oh, yeah, 1 to 11. Is that it? 1 to 11?
Yep. Righto.
Greetings, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at the Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Acacia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, and we know that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction of experience in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we departed of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril that he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. That's it? Cool.
Which pocket did I put the beeper in? Oh, where do I leave it? Somebody's paying attention. Two Corinthians. After we finished the series on standing on the promises and did Easter, I'm like, what am I going to preach next? Had a couple ideas and 2 Corinthians. Started thinking about that. And I'll tell you more in a minute. But then when I looked up for pictures to put up as the start of the message, I went, 2 Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It was one of the first ones that came up, and I went, yeah, I like that verse. That's in 12:9, I think it is. And I went, weakness. Yeah, I'll have some of that sometime. Anyone else agree with me? They feel a bit weak that they could use God's power and you. And I went, yeah, 2 Corinthians it is. We did 1 Corinthians, and I talked about the fact that Corinth was noted for its wealth, its luxurious lifestyle, for being immoral, vicious habits of its people, and a large mixed population of Romans, Greeks, and Jews. Anyone see any connection to Australia? A wealthy society. We are. We mightn't feel it sometimes, but we are. I've just been down in Brisbane, I've stayed with different friends, and thank God for them. And we've got friends with a house. We had 3 different friends there that had a spare bedroom that we could stay in. And you all go, yeah, so what? I've got a spare bedroom. Do you know what percentage of the world the whole family lives in the one bedroom? I don't either, but it's a pretty big chunky one. We had friends with spare bedrooms. Our society is wealthy. Immoral society. Yeah, you see any of that out there? A multicultural society. We don't notice that much in our church on a Sunday morning. But I tell you what, we've had a Cambodian nurse, an Australian nurse, Indian nurses, all sorts of things down there. You walk across to the shop across the road and, man, you see all sorts. We are a multicultural nation. Christianity is a minority, not the political power. That was Corinth. That's us. I haven't preached 2 Corinthians before, so I thought that might be a good one to have a go at. And it's Paul talking about how do we live life in that sort of society. He might have something to say to us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is in Corinth. Apostle, that's a special messenger from God. God had empowered Paul to give a message to the churches. The church at Corinth, and Acacia, and I believe for us too. All churches throughout. Because 2 Corinthians made it into the Bible. You know who the editor of the Bible is? The Holy Spirit. If it's in there, God said, I approve. It made the tick of approval. It's got something to say. Because he said, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So I thought, let's work our way through the 2 Corinthians and seek to hear what God might say to us about how to live, how to follow him, how to act in the society we're in. The Holy Spirit shall teach you all things. Jesus said, it is good for I go away, I'll send the Spirit, because you cannot bear all I have to teach you yet. Jesus was 3 years with the disciples. He was the best teacher that's ever walked the planet. But that doesn't mean, and even if they were excellent students, they couldn't possibly absorb all that Jesus had knew in 3 years. You and I can't possibly absorb all that God's got to teach us, but over time he does. That's our prayer. Lord God, as we look at what you had to say to the Corinthians so long ago, when you, by the Holy Spirit, got Paul to write that, you knew what they needed to hear. But you also knew that 2,000 years later there'd be a small group in Mergen, Australia, who needed to hear something you've got to say. And lots of technology has changed since then, but human nature hasn't. And God hasn't. So as we take time to look at your word, we pray that each of us may hear something each time we look at it that helps us walk for you and reflect you in our day and age, in our community, in our sphere of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those around us. That's as far as I got with this passage. And you'll probably go, he's talking too long anyway by the end of the sermon. So the rest of it, but the Father of all comfort, who comforts us in our time of troubles, and so we can comfort others. I started writing this sermon 2 weeks ago. While Esther was happily on holidays. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. It says the God of comfort, not the God who'll fix everything, not the God who'll remove or prevent all our problems. Does that ring true for anyone else here? A couple of you have had a couple of things that you'd prefer didn't happen. God says the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. okay, believe it, he put it in there, it's true. What's that look like? Well, he did say, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What did you do to it? Can you press the next button, please, Karen? Make it go again. Should be just an arrow. Okay. As most of you know, Esther's in hospital. What does that mean for us? How has God been a comfort in this time? Well, I'm not going to tell you all of it because Ron the other day decided to sit down and write the things where we've seen God's fingerprints in this. And after 6 pages, her hand was getting sore, and the ones that had popped right in the front of her mind, she had to think a bit more. But the timing. Esther's been enjoying her work but not enjoying her study course, and it was wearing her down. But she worked out by moving a day's work, she could have a week's holiday after Easter. So she went and enjoyed that. She's the most relaxed we'd seen her for months. On the way back, she stopped to camp and rings up. Oh, I can't breathe real well, Mum. Did you take your puffer, dear? She's asthmatic. Yes. Is it end date? Well, no, I don't think so. So we go down and to pick her up, and Ron goes, that breathing's not good. So they took her to the King Roy Hospital. And through that journey, they gave her heaps of Ventolin. That didn't do any good. So it wasn't the asthma. They ran all these tests. There was no virus. She didn't have a temperature. Can't figure this out. Go home. Come back. Ron takes her back after 3 days and there's no improvement. So they run a whole lot more tests. Still can't find anything. About to send her home and the doctor looks at her and goes, "What? Your balance is horrible. Didn't you tell me you're a gymnast?" "Eh? Hang on. No, put that cannula back in. We'll go and do another CT scan." Ah. Don't know what that is. So they decide to send her down to the PA to get an MRI. They run her through the MRI machine and look, and there's a blockage in the little tubes that run the liquid out of your brain. Your brain sits in a box of liquid, and it's blocked. And that's putting pressure on the brain, which is mucking up, giving headaches. It's creating nausea. It's making the balance out of whack. Causing the vision to be a bit flurry. It shouldn't have anything to do with breathing. So that's another question. They said, the most common cause of this is if the birth was a little bit rough, there's a tiny bit of scarring that over years sometimes blocks things off. And as we looked up the thing about this causes, most often it's not found for years, and people have headaches and struggle with symptoms for years and end up having to give up work because they can't keep doing it, but nobody knows what's wrong. They found this while she's very young, and she hasn't missed any work, hardly, before they found it. God's timing. Strange symptoms. Because of the breathing, we kept going back, and that shouldn't be part of it. We don't know what's happening with the breathing at the moment. The support we've had, the God of all comfort, we know we've had people praying all over the place. The things God has provided. We have to go down to Brisbane. 3 different places we've stayed so far, so we don't wear out our welcome. All within 20 minutes, 25 minutes of the hospital. You go in and you go to buy stuff that you need and bits and pieces, and I don't know how many times I've gone into the Woolworths down there to get something that they need, and that's the thing that's on special. the coincidences that encourage us, others. While I was down there, I'd rung a mate to see if I could stay at his place. And he said, no, it's in the middle of a reno and it's terrible. And I can't do that. But I got a sense that he wasn't in a good place. So on the Saturday, Bron said, go away from the hospital. I'm not putting up with you here sitting doing nothing. Go visit somebody. So I did. I was able to encourage that mate. But on the way, I dropped into the coffee shop of the youth group that I used to be a part of and had a great chat to them. But the husband comes and says, I wasn't going to come in this morning, but the electricity's playing up, so I come in and you're here. And it was just so good. I'm so glad that I got to catch up with you. And we shared some stories of how God's been encouraging us both. That's a comfort, that he's doing other things as well. Knowing that God has a plan. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that God loves Esther more than I do and more than Bronnie does. And he cares about her and he knows what he's doing. And I sure don't. And he has the future covered. The other one that struck me, and I've got to say it, is before we went into the operation, she's going for brain surgery. Yeah, it doesn't happen much nowadays that people die on the table, but it's not impossible. And I went, what if that happens? Well, I know that'll be good for her. I happen to have been listening to a book that talks about how what heaven's like from near-death experiences and holding that up against scripture, and it's been really encouraging. And I'm going, I don't want to lose Esther yet. But if I don't have a fear of that. What if the surgery happens and something happens and it does something and she's really an invalid or something? Well, God can look after that too. I had a confidence. Was the comfort there from God? Yes, it has been. But I read this book a while back and I went, you know what? There's plenty of people in situations way worse than the one we're dealing with. Yeah, it's fine for me to get up here and say the comfort of God will be with you in your troubles. And my daughter's in a hospital with things. Yes, it's not fun. Yes, it's not good. But my daughter's in a hospital with neurosurgeons that can fix things. There's nurses there caring for her. They found it in an early time. How many situations when I read that book? My goodness. Some of the situations you might be facing may not be as difficult right now, but there's some big pictures. What does God's comfort look like there? And I went, well, I remember reading Corrie ten Boom, who lived through a Nazi concentration camp, saying her father said to her when she was young, Corrie, if we're going to go somewhere next week on the train, do I give you the money now? She goes, no, when we're about to get on the train, yes. If you're going to face something, God will give you the grace then to face it then. Oh. Has God given me the grace to deal with this situation? Yes. Can he do that for others? I remember listening to Dr. Helen Rosevere, sharing a story. And this is an 80-year-old lady just bouncing with joy, telling about her time when she was young in the Congo. And it was horrific when she was a prisoner. I don't want to even mention the things that happened to her. But at that time, she says, God turned to her and she had a sense of God saying to her, can you thank me for trusting you with this hard experience, even if you do not know why? Whoa! And she was able to say yes. And then after that, she told all these stories of how the hell on earth that she'd been through was able to help her help so many other people. The book I've been listening to tells the story of Crystal, who had a life that was horrific, growing up abused, terrible husbands, all sorts of things. And she has a near-death experience, and she described it. She said, "I didn't like God very much. And I had all these questions. Why did you allow?" And she said, "When I turned up in heaven, and then it's near death, all of that went away, and I knew that Jesus loved me. And it made sense that up there." And she says, "I came back. I can't explain how it made sense, but it did." God made us all different shapes. The friend that Bronnie's staying with at the moment, when we went to drop in and organise staying there, she's telling us a story. She said she's got a friend that's a doctor that's been working for the last couple of years in an ER department in London. And it's pretty wild. And she said to a friend who's coming back, "Oh, you maybe can get a job in a quieter town or something." And she goes, "Oh, don't be stupid. I want the craziest hospital we've got. If there's not blood everywhere, why, don't bother me." Some people are wired. She loves that crazy, full-on ER. That's what gets her going. No, thank you. But thank God for people like that. People are wired differently. And the situations God allows them and puts them in fit their wiring. The biblical prophets went through some pretty hard times, but God worked in them. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for the good of those that love Christ Jesus." I've told you some of the bits of Esther's story where we've seen good, but there's a whole lot we don't know about yet. And the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. That verse, I've mentioned it one or twice from here before, and you all know some bloke called Daryl who's mentioned it once or twice before. It was mentioned last night at the men's shed men. Someone got up to at the end of the talk and said, "We want to pray for you, Chris." And this verse that the speaker had shared, and he said, "That's been real." And I said, "Yes, it's been very real for me this last week too." Daryl tells me it's been very real for him in his situation. Pretty sure it can be for others. So I started thinking, the God of all comfort. How do I summarize that? What's that comfort look like? The first thing is, get your expectation, get our expectations right. I could go on, how terrible is this that Esther has to go through this? It's not fair. Why is she didn't do anything wrong? That's not going to help. She's in this situation. God didn't say there will be no troubles on this earth. He said, "You will have trouble. I will be with you." So whatever the situation you're facing, the God of all comfort can meet you there, but go, "Well, I don't know why, where, all those things, God, but I'm looking to you in the situation, not necessarily assuming you shouldn't have put me here." Look for what he is doing, not what he isn't. Ronnie wrote 6 pages. That was a few days ago. I think she'd probably add to that. We're seeing lots of things God is doing. But could we tell you some things we wish he'd do? Yes. Are we struggling with some aspects of it? Yes. But and we keep taking those to God. But we're also looking, what is he doing? Look for God's provision. We needed to go down there. And Bron's able to go, "Well, let's park my car at a friend's place in Kingaroy." Here's another one of those coincidences. Esther's in the ophthalmology section for half an hour getting something tested. And a lady walks in and is looking at Bron, and Bron's looking at her. And they're, "Aren't you her sister?" "Yeah." Where our car's parked in Kingaroy, that lady's sister runs into Bron and the thing and says, oh, have you got somewhere to stay? I live 10 minutes from here. It's the least I could do after how you looked after my sister up there. And Bron goes, I don't think you want to do that. She stayed with us for 2 months. We don't want to be here, darling. But was that an encouragement? Look for God's provision. We went and stayed with Bronnie's bridesmaid, and then she said, oh, we're going to, and her husband's gone, but you don't have to care. You can stay with us. You can stay as long as you like. People have been looking after us. Look for how he is using it. I don't know. But last night at the Shed Men, the guy's place it is, he's not a believer. I've had some interesting conversations with him. We've got some more to come somewhere. But the speaker really shared some God stuff. And then as he finished, someone got up and wanted to pray for me. And they said, we were going to call this off because we can't run it without him this time. But he came back and they felt really encouraged by that. And it was a good night. I don't know, but maybe there'll be a greater impact to somebody that night for the gospel because of what was going on. I don't know how God's using it, but he will. Know and trust he's more doing more than you know in your situation. Do you think Jeremiah could possibly imagine how many times Jeremiah 29:11 has been quoted and how many people it has helped? You don't know the greater picture of what God's doing in his life, but we can trust that he is. And another comfort is we can have an eternal perspective. Whatever is going on now, it's not the whole story. There's an eternal perspective. I was listening to something the other day and someone quoted Mother Teresa, who said, the worst life you can imagine on earth, and she's seen some of them, when we get to heaven, will be about the equivalent of a one night in a bad hotel. We find it hard to think that bigger picture. And we can't live in that bigger picture, but we can remind ourselves every now and again that God's got that bigger picture. And then he said, he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Why is that very real to me? Well, when I ducked over to Boona to see my mate, struck me and I pulled in and stopped there. In loving memory of Kylie Ann Downs, who passed away on the 19th of the 4th of the 6th, 2001, aged 26 years of age. Greatly loved wife of Chris, child and servant of Lord God Almighty, greatly missed. Was I comforted at that time? The ABMS state director of that time made it over to the college to share with us not long after the ambulance took her away. Jeff Ireland had lost his wife in sudden conditions. Having that man there at that time was a huge comfort to me, going, God can get you through. My first church, early on, I went to the first pastor's retreat. One of the other pastors there was another guy who's lost his wife and was in a good place. And it was that reminder to me that God can get me through because he's got those people through. Just about nearly 2.5 years after I lost Kylie, at my wedding, there's a guy there, and my brother's going, Dave, you're here, you coming to the reception? And Dave says to them, how tough do you think I am? I'd been to his wife's funeral 2 months before my wedding. That was my brother's sister-in-law, that her funeral. But he says to my brothers, no way, I can't come to reception. But he says, I needed to be here because I needed to see this, because I know what Chris went through. Sitting in that church, the lady sitting in front of him is my daughter Sarah's godmother, who knew who he was and spent the service praying for him. Sitting directly behind him was the lady who we asked to be Esther's godmother, who knew who he was, who spent the service praying for him. Did I want to go through that? No. But has I been able to help other people and share with others because of that? Yes. Were there others that shared with me? Yes. Whatever you've been through, when you see how God's got you through, that can help you get others through. Came up with this quote: if you have nothing to say, say nothing. Well, the story in Job goes that his friends turned up and for the first 7 days they said nothing. And that's when they got it right. As soon as they opened their mouth, they stuffed it up. There are times when the comfort you've got to give someone is not words, because there aren't words. So for those of you who are less verbose than me, that probably means you don't like words, so you don't use as many big ones. You don't talk as much as I do. That's okay. In fact, yesterday, one of the guys, as we're preparing for that men's shed, I said, let's pray for Esther, because Brunner just rang and we prayed and I prayed, and then he said, amen. He said to me later, I just can't pray out loud. I don't have any words. I said, I don't care. Your heart was there, and I know he's praying in his heart. If you don't have words, it doesn't matter. So what is the comfort that God gives that you can pass on? Sometimes it's the verses that are real to you. Yeah, you can read them, but sometimes when you share a verse, has anyone been encouraged by Daryl sharing about the peace that transcends understanding? It becomes more alive when Daryl shares it, because it's very real for Daryl. Yeah, you've read that verse, but you see it alive in him and it encourages us. The experiences you have had, sometimes have you have something to say to someone else, or just your being and they seeing it, knowing there, helps. The resources God has given you, sometimes you can use them to help somebody else. The exercise of your spiritual gifting, whatever way God's gifted you, use that to help someone else when they're in trouble. It can help them. The hope and the faith that you have, that's tied in with the verse that says, the peace that transcends all understanding. When you're feeling pretty anxious and terrible and stuff, and someone comes alongside and they're calm and they're with you, and you can sense they care, but they're not. As Ron read somewhere, invite people into your calm. Don't join their chaos. How can you have calm? Because you're not as affected by that situation at the moment, and you know that God's got it in hand, and not in a flippant sense, but as you have that faith and that hope and that peace, and be that near those people that are hurting, that can sometimes help. And the comfort that you have comes in the shape of forgiveness. Many times what is bugging people and hurting them, carrying a weight, is their guilt. You don't have to carry that weight in yourself, and you can share that weight of forgiveness that is there because you have it. The comfort that God has given you, the comfort of forgiveness, the comfort of knowing that eternity is together, the comfort of knowing that he said, I'll be with you, the comfort of knowing that he says, I will provide. Walk in that. whatever your situation is, and then look for the opportunities to pass on that comfort where it's needed. Can I just say thank you to all of you that have been passing on that comfort in these last couple of weeks. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord God, thank you that you are a God of comfort, that you promise to be with us in each and every situation. Thank you that I know and Bron knows that you've been with us in these situations. Lord, I don't know exactly what the situation is for everyone here. I know bits and pieces of some of it's for some of them. Lord, I pray for your comfort to be very real to each person here with the situations they're facing. That what it is they need to know, to feel, to sense, that helps them walk through the situation, then we pray for a very clear evidence of your presence in their situations. And Lord, we pray that each of us, as we're comforted, you will give us the wisdom, the courage and boldness, the love, and the grace to share that in the situations we come into. Whether that be a word, whether that be a sitting in silence, whether that be a hand, whether what it takes, that's where we need your wisdom. But help us to comfort others in whatever situation they're in. In Jesus' name, amen.